guys. Welcome to American Contractor Show. I am so excited today to be in the studio with my great friend, Josh Sparks from Infinity Home Services. Josh, welcome to the studio, man.
First time here, John. I got the tour. This place is awesome. I love
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a cool spot.
We like it here. It's cozy.
Yeah.
It's a cozy little studio, and we're very fortunate to have it, but we're way more fortunate to have guests like you that come in and use it and, you know, send your message to the industry and hopefully give people some cool advice and some, you know, cool insights into what you guys are doing. So for those of you guys that don't know who Josh is the CEO, founder of Infinity Home Services, based originally out of Milwaukee.
Yep. Still out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, you guys still have an office there. We've been there. It's a really cool space. But you guys are private equity backed and doing some huge stuff and really transforming the roofing and exterior industry in a way that this is all new to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're all kind of just along for the ride here and learning a lot as we go. So I'm really thankful to have you here.
Well, hey, I'm a roofer at heart, just like you are, John. So private equity is new to me as of just a handful of years ago. So I invested in private equity funds, you know, over the years. I tried to be smart with my money as the roofing business made money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I really became fully enthralled in like the private equity side, understanding what it's all about, the whole process, how they make money, the whole nine yards. So
it's a lot to take in.
It is. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Kind of intimidating, I think, for a lot of contractors.
100%. 100%. I mean, you get into this. How do you get into roofing, John? There's two ways. Your parents do it or you stumble into it somehow. When I was 14, 15 years old, I had a job at McDonald's, had no idea what I was going to do for the rest of my life. A friend of mine offered me a job roofing. I took the job. That's like the story of everybody who gets into the roofing business, unless their dad owned their own company. So to think now you've got Harvard, you know, Wharton School of Business, you got all these MBAs coming in with huge sums of money, pouring money into our industry. And relatively like myself, fairly unsophisticated contractors, it's a little bit intimidating because you don't know if the person across from you is telling the truth when they're asking about buying your business.
That's the biggest hang up that a lot of contractors have is who do they trust? Why do they trust them? Why should they trust them? And, you know, we're contractors. We've all seen and heard so much crap throughout the years. And like, it's like, who's the real deal and who's not?
Well, they shouldn't trust them. Trust needs to be earned. I mean, frankly, let's think about any transaction that you're in. That person who's across from you asking you to sell your business to them is a bit, they call them, they're sales guys, but they're business development guys in our business.
Right.
Those guys get paid commission for you to sell your business to the platform company. That's just, you know, that's the way the world works. So it is in their best interest financially to get you to sell your business, even if it's not the right partner. Now, I'm not imbuing that all these people are like unethical, because that's not the case. You know, a lot of these are really good people, but they have a financial motive to get you to sell your business. And so it's really important that when you're talking to these people, it aligns with what you want long term in the organization.
Why do you think that that's such a big deal for contractors that they struggle so much with the idea of selling their business to private equity?
Well, I went through it. You know, you lose control of your business, your blood, sweat, and tears. You know, you said I'm the founder CEO. So like the way I rate my responsibility in life is I'm a 44-year-old father of five beautiful young children, I'm a former United States Marine, and I'm a CEO and founder in that order. And so I think about this as, you know, taking care of your family, taking care of your community. When I started the roofing business, I started it because I met an unbelievable, we talked about this a little bit last time, but I didn't go into the story. I met an unbelievable human being who changed my life. Her name was Betty. It was 2005. I was subcontracting from one of these unscrupulous contractors, which I didn't know at the time. I showed up and to do a job. It was a 9-square home. It was a tiny little house. Super pumped up because I was a golfer at the time. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a Friday morning. I'm like, I'm going to be on the tee box by noon with this house, you know? So I go in and knock on the door and, you know, out walks a silver hair, old, really nice lady named Betty. And she had coffee and donuts and invited me into her home. And I'm a United States Marine. Her husband was a Marine. He passed away. She told me a bunch of stories about his life. And I did that roof. It took me about 2 hours to do the roof. my labor bill as a sub.
Yeah.
Like I paid $300 to do the job. The material was $300 in 05. The contractor I was working for charged her $12,000 to do the job. I was furious. John, I was so beside myself. I was a 220-pound competitive powerlifter at the time, and I rolled jiu-jitsu. So I was like, I'm going to crush this guy's skull. Like, I couldn't believe that he would take advantage of somebody like that. But I learned later on that the sales process that they implemented paid up if he sold the job way over par. It was just this really unethical sales process. So I went back. I told him I quit my job. I called my wife, and I said, let's put every penny we have into changing this industry. Coined our vision statement, which is to rid the world of unscrupulous contractors. And that fundamentally, John, has not changed. And so back to your question, when people contemplate selling their business, my wife and I dedicated basically my entire life to building a business predicated on the values of honesty, transparency, and fair pricing.
Right.
That is not private equity's model. Private equity's model fundamentally is a term called MOIC, which is multiple and invested capital. How much money can they make when they acquire a company, and then how much can they sell it for? And there's that margin, or right. Not the margin, it's the multiple. And so they don't know your people. They don't know what drives you. Mm-hmm. They don't know the blood, sweat, and tears you poured into the business. So you have every right to be concerned and question when you partner with somebody.
Right.
And so I had that same question, and I was not interested in partnering with private equity. I didn't want a financial engineer to come in here and just basically take all the equity of the company, help me grow it in theory,
right,
and then get all the upside of it long-term.
Right.
And that's why IHS fundamentally, when we partner with people, they become our partners. So we're 45% owned by our former owners and our management company. Yeah. So we believe in, we're all going to get in together. We're going to work hard together. We're going to share best practices. We actually have a IHS workshop that we do every quarter. All of our brands get together.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm doing it on Wednesday.
That's so cool.
And then when we succeed, everybody gets the upside. It's not just the financial guys making the money. So
now you guys have been doing this now. You're buying companies. Mm-hmm. Where are we today?
Partnering, not buying.
Okay, you're partnering with contractors. Mm-hmm. We're doing this now.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot.
How many brands have partnered with IHS so far?
So last time we talked, we had 13. Today we have 17.
Let's go.
Yeah, made some great partnerships. We partnered with a couple of young brothers up in Canada called D'Angelo.
That's right. You guys are in Canada now.
Yeah, up in Canada. Aaron and Andy, great human beings, great dudes. I love those guys. We partnered with a gentleman named Jason Lovelady down in Florida.
Nice.
You know, one of the oldest companies in Florida called Carpenter's Roofing, 1931. Great business. Partner with Adam Resnick, who's also a good, great human being. He's out of Pittsburgh.
Nice.
He's got some corporate background, which is interesting. He worked at GAF.
Okay.
He worked at Hardy, decided I need to start my own business. And you know, I want to be an entrepreneur, built a really great business. And so we're actually going to try to utilize him maybe on the corporate side as well, because he's got some skills there. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys are growing?
Growing.
How's the transitions been for most of these companies? How are things moving along?
You know, we're getting better. You know, I would say, you know, when I first started, and you're going to hear this from business development guys, nothing will change in your business. That's a lie. I mean, that's a lie. It's a lie. Things are going to change inside of your business. And fundamentally, what's important is that you understand what that change is going to be, that the mm-hmm. companies are upfront with you, and they provide support through that change.
Right.
And so I would say when our first, you know, 9 foundational brands, we did that in a very short period of time. We were all kind of figuring out what was going on. We're now a hot ticket, and we got to kind of figure it out. We've got a great, strong integration team. We have a custom CRM we built in-house.
That's awesome.
We've got a custom sales quoting tool called Home Builder, which is better than anything in the industry right now.
That's
by
cool.
far.
That's so
and
cool.
so we're onboarding. We're about 75% integrated. So we have the vast majority of our companies in our system now, in our ethos. So
that's
things
awesome.
Are going well. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this has been some time now. There's been some changes.
And changes, yeah.
How is the nature of this? Because there's other people doing this. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of competition now. It's the hot topic. Like, if you're a roofing contractor, you probably get 5-6 calls sometimes a week, a day.
Yep.
You know, these people are calling you. They're trying to sell their companies. What's been the whole essence of what you guys are doing now? Like, how far is it getting? Like, how big, you know?
Yeah, we're still in the first inning when it comes to private equity in our space.
There's, okay.
I mean, we're still in the very first inning. you know, HVAC space has been rolled up for the better part of 10 years. And
yeah,
the last figure I heard, it was less than, it's still single digits
that in
amount
mind.
Of companies rolled up. And so we're in the very beginning. There's becoming better options now, I would say, if you want to partner with somebody. So take IHS, our business. We have a fundamental strategy. You know, we're on a mission to save our communities from unscrupulous contractors by installing peace of mind. You know, our core values are there. It's integrity, hard work, and service. One cool thing about IHS is that we've been around for a few years now. Mm-hmm. So you can talk to brands that join, you know, 2 years ago, and you can talk to brands that joined 2 weeks ago. And so you get kind of a wide breadth of understanding on how we operate as an organization and where we're going. When you're partnering with a PE backed company, mm-hmm. which is the private equity guys are going to be doing the talking. They're the ones that are going to be bringing in their CEOs. They're the ones that are going to bring in the kind of the executive team. You're really rolling the dice. You don't know what you're getting.
Right.
With IHS, you do. I mean, I'm the CEO and I'm the founder and I'm a roofer. My chief operating officer, Ryan Balcom, who I know you know as well, started Premier Roofing. And we promoted him throughout the organization. So we talk about internal development. We talk about people development. We're living it out because you can see it. You can see the people getting promoted up through our business and they're people internal to the organization.
I love that. And it's cool to see it now because we've been watching this develop for the last 5-6 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were ground floor in a lot of ways with some of the partners that I've had in the past and some of the companies we've been a part of. We've gone through some acquisitions now. And I will say, like, it's been nerve-wracking as contractors to watch this all unfold because some of these these private equities, these roll-ups that were occurring went really, really badly.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to see that, hey, this isn't a bad thing. It's just we're starting to see that there is a way to do this the right way. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we're just learning as an industry. And it's cool to see that there are now companies that are emerging as the leaders in this space that are running the private equity and doing it the right way.
Yeah. And more will go bad. I mean, it's just the nature of it.
Right.
Private equity, these are really smart people. And I'm not dogging them at all. They're very, very smart people, but a lot of them they're book smart. They're kind of boxed into what they know. And if you ever watch the stock market, if you trade on the stock market, you see mm-hmm. this, people trade on charts. So they look at the charts, they see the way the momentum is going, and then everybody starts investing. You see this big tail. Right. That's what's happening in private equity right now. IHS did really well. We turned. So like the first private equity company we partnered with was a small company called North Branch Capital. And we grew so fast in 12 months that they couldn't hold us anymore. They were kind of our limiting factor for growth. And so we went out and had to partner with a much larger firm in order mm-hmm. to do that. As soon as a lot of the private equity companies saw that got announced, money poured into the space and they were just buying. I mean, you saw it, buying any roofing company, mm-hmm. anything with the letter R, storm, restoration. Like they didn't even care. They didn't even know. And it's scary. It's a little bit scary.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was reckless.
I would say some are still acting in a reckless manner. You know, I would say that's definitely the case. It's grow at all costs,
right,
regardless of strategic direction or understanding the business, because there's phenomena in private equity. There's ways to make money, both ethically, what I consider both ethically and unethically. You talk about private equity sponsors coming into the building. You've probably talked to a lot of private equity guys.
We do.
You're not going to talk to our private equity folks.
Right.
You're just not going to, because we run the company. It's our management team. It's roofers that run this company.
That's what blows my mind about IHS is I was paying attention to that. Like there's a lot of them that are bringing in these Wall Street guys and bringing in these other people that are now running that side of it. You guys haven't done that.
No.
You guys are still operating it from top to bottom as contractors.
That's right. Now
people in the industry.
100%. Now we have support.
Right.
You know, we have support from our private equity sponsor, but it's at the board level. It's with high level strategic thinking. But they allow us, the contractors, to really make the decisions because we understand fundamentally the business. We understand the people. You know, we've been in this business a very long time, and you can't replace that type of experience, in my opinion, with an MBA. I just don't think it's possible. Now, again, those folks are really smart, and can they pick up the business 100%? But there's going to be some stumbling, something that happens there.
There's so many things that people just out on the outside don't understand about our business and the fluctuations and the ebbs and flows of how our business operates. They're also, you know, roofing and construction in general is such a there's so many factors involved that are not translated well in other industries.
It's not. It's a being a roofing entrepreneur, those who know, those who've done it, you have to be pretty good at just about everything.
Right.
Managing people, managing customer expectations, mm-hmm. technologies, marketing, yep. operations, Google feedback.
Yep.
You kind of got to be good at all of that. It's hard to find somebody who has a kind of broad skill set that can be good at all of those things.
And that's the reality of it. And that's what I love so much about IHS is you guys are using your own people. You guys understand the business. You understand what these people that you're partnering with are going through because you've done that.
We've already been there.
So let me ask you this. So since you have that type of background, if you were in the shoes of a contractor today mm-hmm. and you were not private equity, you were still out there running your business by yourself with a team, you guys were running a good successful business and you got all this private equity looking at you and you say, hey, you know what? Maybe I do want to look into private equity, at least have conversations.
Sure.
What are some of the red flags that you think, you know, these guys should be looking out for or that you would be looking out for as if you were going through that process?
Yeah. So red flags, you know, being early is always a little bit of a gamble because you don't have my LinkedIn account right now is littered with CEO opportunities for private equity backed roofing roll-up strategies.
It's right.
I mean, I get four or five of them a day. And so if you're early on in the strategy and they don't have a lot of contractors, when you sell your business to them, if you're staying on, there's no CEO, there's no long-term strategic vision for the organization. And so
right.
what are you buying into? What are you actually getting? And so if you come in, I would say the term do your research isn't, you know, it's gotten messed up with COVID, but spend time. The person across from you has a financial reward in order for you to get you to sell your business. I would say talk to the CEO, talk to the leadership team, the C-suite team. You can talk to me if you call IHS.
Right.
Talk to the entrepreneurs who are in the strategy right now. If they've been around for a while, you can talk to every single person. It's worth the phone call because what ends up happening is you get a little bit of starry eye, right? So you see you see a check, $5 million, $10 million, whatever the number might happen to be. And you go, holy crap, like my business is worth a lot more than I thought it was. Don't sell your soul to the devil. And more importantly, don't sell your people to that. And I'm not saying they're all the devil. But,
right. But I have noticed that like a lot of them that have been bought out recently, I've just been talking to the contractors that have gone through this process and from various different companies. Some of them, like, they're like, dude, I just didn't like what I heard from this company. I didn't like what I heard from this other company, but this company told me everything I wanted to hear. And so I went with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, but the things that they said that they were going to do for that company, I'm like, that's not realistic, but you just got sold.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like, if you're not hearing the stuff from all these different private equities, but this one private equity has the magic solution that fits your business exactly the right way.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be like the biggest red flag in the world?
So their MBAs are going to come in and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to add professionalism to your business, which means they're going to bring a CEO or CFO in, which is going to help you run your business smoother. Hopefully bring an operating system in.
Right.
Might be EOS traction to say, hey, you got to have meetings once a week with your team, guys. If you're not having a meeting once a week, we're going to hire a chief marketing officer to help you market better. They're going to bring in some system. We're going to help you buy material better. That's what they're going to tell you.
Right.
But then what's actually going to happen on the other side is always a question mark. And this is why contractors go, wait a second, this might be too good to be true. So our sponsor, you know, North Branch Capital, my very first sponsor, they told me that when we exited, in fact, I talked to one of the CEOs. I talked to all nine of the CEOs that were in their platform or had exited as of recently, because I was a concern. You know, I'm not selling my business to someone I don't know anything about. Had multiple meetings, talked to everybody. And I felt comfortable after all those conversations, this was the right company. But they told me, when we go to exit, if we're successful, we're going to let you and the management team pick the next private equity company. Because I'm like, listen, we might do well here, but if in 3 years we sell and I sell to some crazy private equity company, I don't want to do that either. They told me they let me pick. They stayed truthful to their word. We chose Freeman, Spogli, and Light Bay Capital. It is important to know the private equity company that you're getting behind or that you're selling your business to, especially if you're rolling capital. You want to understand what that is. Freeman Spogli has the moral scruples, the core values directly in line with what IHS is. we're not building a business to sell in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. We're building a business that can withstand the test of time. That's our mission. That's our core values. When I look at the companies at Freeman Spoglin, you can look them up online that they've been partners with. You're looking at Petco, you know, Floor and Decor, Advanced Auto Parts, Mattress Firm, Boot Barn, Batteries Plus, big businesses that did very well under the management and tutelage of Freeman Spoglin. But more importantly, they did well long after, which right. is a testament to the fact that Freeman Spoglin is not squeezing all the profitability out of that company during its whole period mm-hmm. and then letting it go die somewhere else. They're fundamentally investing in those businesses for long-term success. And so that's why we partnered with them. And that's why I think we're doing so well, because we're making the investments in the right part of our business to be able to help our entrepreneurs grow.
And you're going to do that again with the next partner, I'm sure.
Yeah. So when we get to this stage, the great thing is, you know, we've got a leadership team. I've got a great CMO who, yeah. you know,
yeah, Gina's awesome.
Yeah. You know, we got human resources, you know, the CEO position, COO, we have a great team. And so we have operating partners at Freeman Spoglin and Lightbay Capital that provide support for strategic growth. But when we change out the capital partner, none of our brands are really going to feel that, except they're going to get the upside
right.
liquidity event. But they're not going to feel a change in management because the PE firm doesn't manage our business. We manage our business. Mm-hmm. This will just be a swap out of investors.
Right.
So,
and that's what's so cool about all this. There's a whole nother side of this. Yeah, you get your upfront capital, but then you also have the liquidity that happens, the different the roll-ups that occur constantly, like, well, not constantly, but every so often. And, you know, it's more capital that gets cashed out. You roll up more, and it's almost like you make more money in the back end.
This
is what
I try to tell people. Don't sell 100% of the business.
Yeah.
Roll equity. There's there's a reason why private equity is pouring capital, hundreds of millions, into our space, because they believe they're going to get a really good return. In the private equity space, and, you know, a decent return for them, they say, is three times your money. Three times your money in 5 years. You're not going to make that in the stock market or anything else. So they don't want you to roll equity, because they want to make their financial return much higher at the end of the day.
Right.
And so I say, roll that equity. Roll the equity, because you want to control some of that upside, and you want the upside when you succeed, because mm-hmm. if you do well, you succeed. On top of that, what IHS does, which I think is unique, is that we call our former owners brand presidents. If we acquire a business that's doing $1 million in EBITDA, and they grow that business to $5 million with our help, we give them a big part of that upside.
That's cool.
As to run the location.
Right.
So we're not just paying you, you know, a salary to run the location. We're still incentivizing you with potentially millions of dollars on the upside if you grow your business with the support of our brands.
I love it.
So, yeah.
There's so much to consider here, and it gets complicated, but it's not that complicated. It's just understanding a little bit more than we knew before. So,
there's been a lot of folks, you know, there was an early roll up that happened where there wasn't any cash outlaid. And that, I mean, that, I think everybody knows about that. And that deal went really south pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, some good business owners got taken to the cleaners.
Yeah. You know, had to start over. A lot of them did.
Yeah.
It was pretty sad.
Yeah. And so our mission, and my mission, goes back to 2005 to save our communities from unscrupulous contractors. And I feel almost a responsibility in some capacity to make sure that good entrepreneurs don't get sold to the cleaners. And so this extends past the customer and goes to these good salt of the earth. And when I mean salt, I mean, these are the roofers like that I started.
Right.
Who didn't have, you know, weren't great salespeople, didn't have great operating systems, but fundamentally they cared about the customer, the people. They didn't grow their businesses wildly fast because they were afraid they couldn't deliver that service. PE firm's not going to tell you that. They're going to say, double your marketing budget, raise your prices, cut your cost to your subs, lower your cost in your material, increase margin, and everybody makes money. Well, that can be okay sometimes. But if you don't have absolute frontline obsession and you're not worried about your customer experience, that's a short-lived proposition, in my opinion.
No, so, I love it. Yeah. And that's the mindset that a lot of people got to start to wrap their head around. Like, there's a right way and a wrong way. And I appreciate that you guys are, you know, you guys have now, at this point, I feel like, stood the test of time a little bit, because I feel like the hard days were probably back a while ago getting started.
Well, you know, I think we're the only company that's actually gone through a turn. So the only company that has actually put together some brands, put a leadership team in place, and then actually were able to execute a transaction and go to the next firm. I think we're the only company that's done that in the residential retail space.
Right.
I, you know, as a CEO, I can say I think we're doing a lot of great things, but you know, we're also in our infancy to some capacity. And we talk about culture in the organization. We had 17 different cultures. Now, we wouldn't have partnered with these folks if I didn't think that they fit, you know, our overall culture, but we need to create a broad culture that stretches across all 17. And we've got integration we have to work on, and we have best practices that we have to work on. And we do a lot with our brands as far as these workshops goes, but you know, we're still learning. We're still working hard. And the cool thing, John, is that every business we bring in, it's crazy. It's like every business we bring in, there'll be a little nugget that they do that's a little bit different than all the rest of the brands. And then everybody in that next workshop is going, hey, what are you doing over there? What are you doing with multifamily? Or what are you doing with solar? And it's like, all of a sudden you bring that back to your brand. And that's the way we operate. We don't operate in this command and control ethos where I'm sitting up in the ivory tower and saying, pay your salespeople this and do this operating system. That's not how we operate at all. You know, if you're a salesperson in Boston, you get paid probably different than a salesperson in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right.
Because the way we set up our framework is that we allow a lot of autonomy in the field, because that's the way, frankly, I'd want, if I was not the platform company and the CEO, that's the way I'd want to be treated. I'd want to come into a group and say, okay, I've got 17 different folks who are really going to show me the P&Ls, exactly how they operate, what they're paying, what their line items are. I could go to those businesses and pull a few things and make my business more successful. And so it's that iteration, it's that responsible growth is what we do.
And we know that firsthand. We've, you know, what's cool about our relationship with IHS is it's pretty deep. You know, Cochrane was our first ever show that we shot.
Is it really?
First episode that we walked, did a business walkthrough, was Cochrane Exteriors, which is one of your companies now. Mm-hmm. American Home Contractors.
Yep.
That's David Silverstein and his team.
Yep.
We shot a bunch of content with them, with Tesla and all that cool stuff that they do. And what's cool about it is I know David and Ross pretty well. Like, we've had a pretty good relationship over the years. Both of them are so excited.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
Of IHS and this opportunity and the growth and the future. And there's so much motivation there. Like, they're just so excited to be a part of it, and they're killing it, and they're doing all this stuff. And like, every time I talk to them, that's what it is. IHS is doing this. We're doing this. We're excited. We're growing. We're doing. And I'm like, dude, they're living the best life ever.
Yeah.
And they love it. And that to me is like, that's what this is really about. This is about understanding that entrepreneurship can be lonely. It can be tough. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Here's an opportunity to take some chips off the table, get some money out for all the hard work that you've done over the years. Join up with a cool team, a cool group of people that are like-minded business owners that want to grow, that want to be excited, that are doing cool stuff.
That can support you.
Yeah. And you got this ecosystem now that's so cool.
Dave is great. I'm quite certain that they were the number one installer by kilowatt of Tesla solar roofing last year. So those guys are fantastic. So every quarter after we have our board meeting, I do a CEO talk, kind of an investor update. And so I give an update to all of the people who own equity in our strategy. And without fail, David Silverstein has his sombrero on.
Yep.
And he's on a roof. He's on a Tesla roof usually. And he's always, you know, he's looking at his phone. He's asking questions because there was always a Q&A at the end. And he's like, he's like, what about this, this, and this? I'm like,
dude, he's passionate about it.
Yeah.
He loves those Tesla roofs.
Yeah, he does.
But that's cool, but though. Those are good actually. People.
So we're doing, we've got Tesla roofs now being sold out of the premier location up in Michigan. And so, you know, facilitated through American Home Contractors. So we're starting to, again, use that leverage to grow throughout the country. So,
and I've seen the people that work there too. Like, they've moved around. They're part of the teams. They've gone to corporate level. Like, the opportunities that his employees have gotten and Ross's employees are getting, like all these different companies, like, it's because they now have this ecosystem that's way bigger than what they were before. And yeah, people just want to be a part of that.
Strongly believe in internal promotion. So as I mentioned earlier, Ryan Balcom, who is the second company we acquired back in 2022, he's now our COO. A wonderful marketing person named Taylor came out of Kudo Construction. Now she's on a national marketing team.
That's awesome.
Ross, you know, obviously, and he's doing business development for us now, reaching out and telling the IHS story. And so we have a number of these. We have a bunch of people from Infinity Exteriors, the brand that I started, that are now greenfielding, opening new locations. We opened up Exterior Heroes, and they also came onto our corporate technology team. And so
that's so cool.
A lot of internal promotions, which I love.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Guys, I mean, we can talk about this all day because this is exciting, cool stuff. But I will say, though, if you're interested in talking about private equity, there is a link. It's in the show notes. It will get you a free evaluation of your company, get you started down that road, connect you directly to David, or connect you directly to Josh. I'm thinking David Silverstein. Yeah, now. He's like, it's in my head. It'll connect you to Josh.
Hey, if you want to talk solar, you can talk to Dave too.
David's a great person to talk to about solar. If you want to talk about solar, we'll connect you to David too. Just let us know. But either way, though, like if you want to go down this road, this is something that you at least need to have the conversation, because these opportunities exist. It's real. It's happening. You can now collaborate and be a part of a team like this. You can partner with companies like this. There's people offering you stupid money for your company, but not just that, an opportunity to really grow and be a part of something that's so huge and so much bigger than anything that's ever been in our industry before.
100%.
And it's here now. I encourage you guys to check it out, get to know Josh, get to know the team. And thank you for being such a great, part of American Contractor Show and helping us grow. But, we're just excited that this is where our industry is going. And we love partnering with great people like you guys. So thank you for everything you guys have done so far.
Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you too, man.
Yeah.
See you, Josh.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on the American Contractor Show. Be sure to subscribe, hit that thumbs up, and leave your comments below. We'll see you guys in the next one.